This is John Fisher for the Ultimate Practice Builder for New York Injury Lawyers. Today, we're lucky to have David Ward on the interview. David is an attorney in Southern California, and he is the head of a basically helps attorneys market their practice. His domain is attorneymarketing.com, and the name of his company is the Attorney Marketing Center. David has written a number of books, Make the Phone Ring, The Attorney Marketing Formula, The 30-Day Referral Blitz, Evernote for Attorneys, and he has a free daily newsletter that he sends out by email called The Prosperous Lawyer. So, David, thank you, first of all, for being on the call. What I'd like to do is hit a topic that very few lawyers know anything about and very few lawyers actually do anything about, which is referral-based marketing. And on your website at theattorneymarketing.com, you have a very interesting quote that referral-based marketing should be the foundation of every lawyer's practice, and that really appealed to me. So before we get into the nuts and bolts and the secrets of referral-based marketing, because I really believe that there are systems that attorneys can implement for referral-based marketing as opposed to, you know, just happening to go to the county bar association dinners and hanging out with other lawyers at the bar, things like that, which really are not a system. So I'd like to get into that. But first, before we do that, can you give our audience, which is consisting of lawyers who are interested in learning more about marketing their practices, a little bit more information about you, how you got involved in attorney marketing?
Well, sure. And thanks for inviting me and for having me here on your podcast, John. I appreciate it. I was a practicing lawyer for over 20 years. I don't practice any longer. Still keep my license, but haven't taken a client in quite some time. And like most lawyers who strike out on their own, my early years in practice were abysmally frustrating and unproductive. I didn't know anybody. I didn't know what I was doing as an attorney. And marketing was something that attorneys didn't even really do much of in those days. And I didn't know what to do. I was lost. And I struggled for a long time to find things that I could do. The only information that was available was put out usually by the ABA, and it was very academic and inapplicable to me and my situation. I needed things that I could do today that would bring in clients tomorrow so I could pay my rent at the first of the next month. And there just wasn't anything out there. And so I kind of reached out to other industries, other types of professionals that were more in tune with marketing. I read everything I could find in the library, and I was at the bookstore once or twice a week. There was no internet in those days, so that was pretty much it. And through trial and error, I was able to find a few things that worked for me and was able to build upon those. And eventually I built a successful practice. And I say eventually because it took me quite a few years. One of the things that was transformative for me was, you know, in the beginning I did threshold law, basically, if you get the reference, whatever showed up at the door, I took. And that was difficult because trying to keep up in one area of the law is hard enough. And I couldn't do it, at least do it well. And so one of the first things that I did was I decided to specialize. And I specialized in a practice area, but I also started to specialize in the kinds of clients that I took because I wanted to be a big fish in a smaller pond rather than trying to compete with all the other attorneys that are out there. And that's what most attorneys do. 80% of the attorneys are fighting over 80% of the clients and beating themselves up in the process. And I did it just the opposite. And as a result, I was able to build build in depth. And that's when I started getting more and more referrals. It was frightening at first, by the way. Turning down business was not something that most people advise doing, but I started doing it and created a vacuum, a void, and I started getting business of the kind that I wanted. And from that, I was able to build a referral-based business or a referral-based practice. I use the terms interchangeably sometimes because being in practice for yourself, you are running a business. And that should be your first priority. Marketing should be your priority, because if you don't have any clients, you don't have a business or a practice to run. So that's kind of how I got started, how I got into it. And then I started leveraging my time and delegating more and more and hiring more staff. And I just started to get more and more into the marketing. And all of a sudden, I had my life back and my time back. It was ironic in the beginning, having no business to speak of, but I also had no time because I was spending way too much time thinking about why I had no business, organizing form files, and spending Saturdays in the office trying to figure something out. And then I started to get a lot of business, and I had even less time. But over a period of time, through hiring some employees and working out some systems, I was able to get my life back. And eventually, I don't know, you'll see this on my website, the whole story. Eventually, I was able to work just 3 hours a week and make far more than I'd ever made before, simply because I got really focused and used systems to mechanize what I was doing. And that allowed me the time to build relationships with my clients, to go out and get new referral sources, and leverage what I had already created. So that's a long-winded answer. Maybe you weren't looking for that much information.
No, that's great, because you hit on three major topics that really turned your practice around, which was specializing in a niche area of the law, number one. Number two, delegating as much of the grunt work as you possibly can so your time is spent doing the stuff that's actually going to bring in new cases and new clients. And number three, placing the number one priority on marketing your practice, because without clients, it doesn't matter how good of a lawyer you are. And you learn these things through a lot of trial and error, just like everybody else. But the key thing here, I think the experience for many lawyers is they don't teach you how to own and operate your law practice in law school. You leave law school and you're totally clueless on how to do this. So you struggle, you maybe quit. And this is the experience that you've had and successfully. But let's get a little bit now into the referral marketing end of this, because I know lawyers out there love referrals. Referrals are the best cases we get, whereas the stuff that we get off the internet and from maybe traditional print advertising and TV tends to be junk for the most part. So let's talk about this, because most lawyers, I think 98-99%, have no idea that there's such a thing as a system for referral-based marketing. Can you share with us what the system is and what special tips and advice you have?
Well, it is a system, but more accurately, a collection of systems. Excuse me, it's not any one thing that we do. It's all of the little things that we do and a few medium-sized things that we add to it. There's no turnkey method, and a lot of attorneys want a turnkey method. They want to give me a letter that I can send out. And yes, I have prepared and used letters. In fact, I wrote an entire course. It's not currently available, but one of the first things I did when I got into consulting with attorneys on marketing was to write a course on marketing, and it was called Referral Magic, and ultimately became the best-selling marketing course of its kind in the world, as far as I know. But in it were letters that one can send to your clients, and so forth. But it's not any one thing. It's a lot of things. You know, when attorneys say, "How can I get more referrals?" and I answer them somewhat glibly. I say, if you're not getting all the referrals that you want, there's only two reasons. Number one, you don't deserve them. And number two, you're not asking for them. And both issues make people blanch a little bit at the bluntness of it, but really, what else is there? You either don't deserve to get referrals because you're doing something wrong, or you're not doing something right, or you're not doing something enough. You're not putting the client first. And when I say client, it's not just client referrals. That's a big part of it. That's where you'll probably start if you're fairly new. And if you don't have any clients at all, you'll leverage whatever warm market you do have based on what you did before you went to law school. You'll probably spend more time courting referrals from non-clients because you don't have the clients yet. Once you do have a client base, you should be spending as much time and energy and resources dedicating them towards building relationships with your clients, unless you're perhaps a criminal defense lawyer and maybe a couple of other specialties, but building relationships with them, strengthening the relationships that you already have, and leveraging your relationships to become introduced to the people they know and the people they can lead you to. And keep in mind that referrals is only part of the equation. There are many ways that your clients can help you besides referrals. And if you are doing everything right and you do deserve referrals and you are communicating that need to, if I don't touch on that subject of asking, come back to me and ask me about that. If you are doing it right and asking, and you know, clients don't always have referrals to give you, depending on what kind of practice you have. They may want to help you, but they don't know anybody that they can send to you. Well, keep in mind that there are other ways that they can help you, especially now in the age of the Internet. They can send traffic to your website. They can help build your list. They can, you know, like your Facebook pages and whatever other social media you may or may not be into. They can promote your seminar. They can provide feedback as to what they want to see, what they like about what you're doing, what questions they would like to see answered on your blog or in your newsletter. So there are other ways that they can help you. And by the same token, let's talk about professionals. You know, I get a big question. How do I get more referrals from other professionals when I can't reciprocate? You know, I've only got so many referrals to give. So if I'm working with, let's say, an accountant, and I've already got an accountant I'm working with, how do I reciprocate with accountant number two when I'm already kind of committed to accountant number one? And it's kind of the same answer. There are other ways that you can help other professionals besides direct referrals. You can help promote their practice, their events, their giveaways, their newsletters. There are other ways that you can help them that are as good or better as actual referrals sometimes. So that's the first thing, is you need to deserve it. You need to work on, you know, corny, old-fashioned things like the golden rule and giving before you have any expectation of receiving, smothering your clients with love and attention, under-promising, like, for example, when you can get the work done, under-promise when you think you can get it done so that you can over-deliver, and basically creating a culture where your clients absolutely love you. You know, if all you do is deliver your core services to clients and get paid for them, it's an equal exchange. And the fact that you think that entitles you to get referrals is kind of naive. You need to over-deliver to them, give them more value than they expect, so that they are preconditioned to not only want to give you referrals, but if you do it right, they'll actually go out of their way to find people that can refer to you. I've seen it happen over and over again. I've seen it happen in my own practice. If you get this right, your clients will actually go out and look for people that they can send to you. Now, the other aspect is asking for referrals. Whenever I bring up that subject, you know, you can kind of tell the reaction to that is, hey, I'm not comfortable asking with referrals, or I can only do so much asking. And I understand that. You know, it gets to the point where you get a little embarrassed about it. And, of course, there's always ethical issues concern, and I don't really want to go into those. But what I do want to point out is that you can ask without actually verbalizing, without actually coming around and asking. That's not that that's wrong. Asking a client for referrals, for example, at the time you deliver the work product, the settlement check, the documents, when they are at their happiest, it's done, the work's done, they had a successful outcome, that's a great time to ask for referrals, and you shouldn't ever hesitate to say something about that, to ask for referrals, even a gentle reminder. But there are other ways that you can do that. For example, every attorney should have in their new client kit, and if you don't have a new client kit, there's a clue, In your new client kit, things that you give to new clients, it should be something about referrals. What would be a good referral for you? Educate them. Tell them who would make a good referral for you. Why should they refer them? You need to tell them why their friends and professional contacts and clients and neighbors, how do they benefit by being referred to you? And there are several ways that they do. You're sparing them the pain and effort and time and the risk of going to the Yellow Pages or just picking somebody at random. People want to be referred to somebody that they can trust based on your recommendation. So talk about how their referrals benefit, and you might mention also how the client who's doing the referral, who's giving the referral, how do they benefit? Well, they're doing their friend a favor. They're helping them save time, save money, avoid risk, and so forth. So put something in your new client kit. You can also have other people in your office do the asking for you, if you have that available. But I think one of my favorite things is to provide your clients, and when I say clients, I also include non-clients, just people that you know, other professionals or otherwise, but to provide people with something that I call a referral device. I don't know if I made up that term, but I've been using it for close to 20 years. A referral device is simply a tangible representation of the referral process, something that you can hand out. Now you've got more options with email and downloads and so forth, but something that you can give to somebody that they can pass along to somebody else to facilitate a referral. Now, traditionally, that might be some kind of a free consultation certificate or a discount certificate or maybe a certificate for a free service. It could be an invitation to a seminar. Mostly, though, the easiest one for most attorneys to prepare is some kind of an information product that solves a problem, educates the reader, and has enough perceived value that not only will your client want a copy and read a copy, but will be encouraged to distribute copies or recommend it or pass along your email or your link to the people that they know. It's a lot easier to say to a client, hey, do me a favor, would you forward this email to people you know who might be interested in reading this? That's a lot easier than asking for a client to be referred, and it opens up a bigger list of people that they can expose you and your wisdom to. So don't, if you're uncomfortable with coming right out and asking people for referrals, simply ask them to refer people to your information.
A great point. Great point, David. Let me stop you there for a second, because one of the great information products that no lawyers really use is a book. And if you have a book that's a information product that just gives out value to consumers and you give it to somebody, they're very unlikely to throw that book away. If you sent forward an email to them, I would say there's a very good likelihood that they're not going to do anything with it. But the book is a tangible product that even if they don't read it at all, it's going to sit on their coffee table for the next 15 years, or maybe they give it away. And if you have a client who likes your book, all of a sudden you give them maybe 10 or 15 copies, and maybe they'll pass it out to their friends or family. It makes a difference. But let me talk to you a little bit about one of the things that you do that I think is critical for all attorneys, which is, you have, let's say that you've got clients who love you to death, and their case gets over, they're extremely happy, but then a month later, they don't even know who you are. They completely forget about their case, they go on with their life. One thing you do with your company is you're sending out daily emails to all of the fans who follow you, and that's fantastic, because you're staying top of mind with all of the people who potentially can bring business to you. And that's something that nobody does. Now, can you address that aspect of it?
Well, yes. And how many days do you have? You're right. Most attorneys don't, they don't even make a list. If you go to most attorneys' websites, Sometimes you even have to hunt for a way to contact the attorney. They don't display their contact information. They don't provide a contact us page. They don't make it easy for the visitor to contact them. And so that's rule number one. You've got to do that because they're not going to come back to your website. And if they're not ready to call, but they have questions, they want more information, you've got to allow them an easy way to contact you. Number two is you've got to build a list. You've got to capture their email at the time they first arrive at the website. Again, assume they will never return because statistically that's true. And you've invested whatever time and money in getting traffic to your website. Most people who come leave, and if you don't capture that information, when they are ready to hire someone or take the next step in that direction, they're just as likely to go somewhere else because they forgot your name, they don't know who you are. All of the goodwill that you engendered upon their first visit has dissipated, and you got to start over from scratch. So cardinal rule of any kind of marketing, internet or otherwise, is to build a list. My list building allows me to connect and reconnect with people over a period of time and remind them that I exist, number one, what I do, how I can help them, talk to them about the problems that they're having or may have in the future and how to prevent or avoid or minimize them, and otherwise build a relationship with them. And all I have to do is write a quick email and press a button and send. And over time, that email list grows because more and more people find out about you and the value that you deliver. And in my case, I'm able to sell products to my list. You know, when I launch a new course or a new book, for example, I write one email, click a button, and the orders pour in. And it's that simple. But it all starts with making a list. And then as far as frequency, now I do a daily email 5 days a week, and that's because I don't practice anymore. And I'm not suggesting that a solo lawyer do something like that, although that would be a good thing if they could. There's nothing wrong with a daily email, something short and sweet and to the point, a reminder, a tip, a link, information about you and your practice, but mostly just information, valuable information that people that are in your target market are interested in, looking for, and again, remember, it's not just about them, it's about the people that they know. We're a very social society to begin with, and email forwarding and social media make it so much easier to share information with others. And I get lots of people who find me as a result of that sharing. Daily is probably too much for most people, at least initially. Monthly is not often enough because they forget who you are. So I suggest most attorneys commit to doing something weekly to make it as easy as possible on yourself. Don't get fancy with HTML. Emails, text is fine, and actually text is better. It's got a higher deliverability rate, and it can be read on any smartphone. You don't have to spend any time making sure that you've closed your tags and taking care of any of that other technical stuff. And it's a much more personalized method of communication. You know, when I get an HTML email, I'm looking at basically a magazine, and magazines are commercial, they're advertising based. I get a text-based email, it's as though I went down to the mailbox and found a personal letter from somebody that I know, and that's kind of the climate that you want to create. So 15 minutes once a week, write something and send it to your list. Now what I do is I kind of get a double use out of my blog. I write a daily blog. And most of the emails I send out are just a copy of my blog. Sometimes I'll just link to it, but mostly I just paste the content into the email and send it out. This makes it convenient for my readers because they check their email every day. They may not want to go to my website every day, but they can just open their email and read what I have to say. Now, one big question I get is, you know, am I sending too often? Do are you communicating too often with people? Is there such a thing? And that can be a complicated question, because for some people the answer is yes. I don't want to read your email every day or every week or even every other week. For a lawyer, you know, let's say you're a family lawyer, and nobody wants to read about family law all the time, especially if they're going through the worst of it, or they've concluded their case and they don't want to hear anything else about it. And so the first thing I would say is, don't write only about your area of expertise, because people don't want to hear about it all the time. There's only so much law that people want to hear about. So you've got to get a little creative in terms of what else you can talk about. And there's no end to the subjects that you can address in your newsletter or in a blog or both. The other thing is, and this is more of a subtle point, but you're not looking for everybody. You know, some people are going to say, I got one from you last week, the week before, I still haven't read it. Yeah, it's good content, but it's too much. I don't have time to read it, and they're going to unsubscribe. Is that a bad thing? Well, no, I maintain that it's a good thing, because you don't want a list of everybody. You don't want a list of people who are not reading what you're writing. You don't want a list of people who aren't going to hire you or don't like you or don't like what you say. You want a list of people who are fans. You've heard the expression raving fans. The ones that are going to hire you, they are going to recommend you, they are going to read you every day, they are going to forward your emails. So, you know, look at it numerically. Would you rather have a list of 10,000 people, most of whom can't remember who you are and don't read your email, or 100 people who love you to death?
And right, absolutely.
The answer is obvious. So,
well, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. I can talk for, remember, I'm used to being paid by the word.
Well, hey, no problem. Look, a couple things I'd like to point out that you do very effectively with the email marketing. Number one, on your website, when you go to your website, you read it, there's a pop-up box that comes up. If you like this information on the site, you'll love my free daily newsletter, The Prosperous Loiter. Click and subscribe. Very easy stuff. So they don't have to go to your website and do it. And if they subscribe, they'll get an email every day at a certain time, I'm sure, where you'll get your new content. So you make it brain dead easy for people to get your emails. Secondly, and this is what I think separates your email marketing from anything else that I've seen, which is you're providing just really valuable content. And now most of the emails I get from other people are sort of some content, but mostly sales pitches where buy this, or go to this link. And I never even click or read those, because I know it's just going to be another sales pitch. When I see your emails, I'm thinking that's a good tip, very valuable, and I save them. So one of the things that I agree with you, you want to give valuable content, and your website has a great conversion tool for getting people to subscribe and become fans, because I'm sure people, when they read your first couple of emails, they don't know who you are. They don't care about any of this. And then slowly but surely, you keep delivering value every day. And what you're doing is not just creating new clients and new customers, but what you're doing is getting a raving fan base. So I think it's very effective at staying top of mind with your top referral partners, your top clients. You do it very well. Any other secrets that you can give? Oh, before I get to this last point, what you mentioned, every lawyer should have a list. And when you say the word list, I agree completely. And the list is a database on somewhere, a software. I use Infusionsoft, but it could be anything, where you're collecting not just their name, address, and email address, their birthday, their anniversary, everything that you can, so you can use that information to automate the follow-up sequence with them, which is crucial. Can you comment on that just a little bit?
Sure. Well, obviously, you're going to have all of that information for clients. And my view is, in building an email list for a newsletter, like we've been talking about, for example, you want to ask for as little information as possible. I know I'm familiar with Infusionsoft and what it can do. There are other software tools out there. And you can make them jump through all kinds of hoops and provide all kinds of information, but I wouldn't recommend it. Once they go beyond a mere subscriber and reader of your information to a free consultation or an actual client, something beyond just an anonymous subscriber, then you can start collecting more information, and that information does allow you to segment your list and invite them to more local events and do other things. But in the beginning, just ask for their email address and a first name. You don't even need the first name, but make it as easy as possible for them to say, yes, I want that. And I don't know if we've talked about it, but give them an incentive to opt into your list, whether it's just, get my daily tips or get my recommendations, or it's something more formal, like get my free report. For years, I didn't offer anything, even though I believe in it and I talk about it a lot. I just offered the newsletter, subscribe to the newsletter. Today, I offer a free report. It's on Marketing Legal Services, The Essentials. It's a short two- or three-page report on the things that I believe and every attorney needs to include in their marketing. That's the baseline. Anything over and above that is fine, but you've got to have the essentials. And I offer that now as a free report. I haven't noticed a change in my subscribers, but that doesn't mean that's not a good idea. Generally, if you incentivize people, you give them a reason to opt in, or multiple reasons, they're going to do that. But don't make them supply their underwear size in order to get on your list. Make it as simple and easy as possible.
Right, and what you're doing basically is lowering the barrier to entry, so people will opt in, they'll get to see the value that you can provide to them, and slowly but surely you'll develop some type of trusting relationship with them over a long period of time it takes. And as you pointed out, none of this stuff happens overnight, but through a series of emails that you're sending out, I'll read them, I'll say, this is just great content, over and over again, and develop that sense that I even know you, even though I don't. So I think that what you're doing with that is, number one, you're staying top of mind. Number two, you're developing a trusting relationship with people who don't even know you. And what that does, it leads to the chance that you're more likely down the road going to develop a client relationship with the attorney who's reading your emails every day. So it's fantastic stuff, and I definitely applaud you. And the last point I sort of would like to address is this type of marketing that you have, because you've talked a lot about referral-based marketing with clients, but you can do referral-based marketing with business-to-business, other professionals, doctors, or lawyers. My practice is almost exclusively referral-based from other lawyers who don't do medical malpractice. But do the concepts that you've discussed, could you apply them to basically, for example, not just consumers, you could use these same concepts for business-to-business type referral relationships?
Yes, and in some cases, like MedMal and certain other practice areas, that's going to be your better source. You're only going to get so much from your clients. However, let's not forget that your clients, the first thing, and I'm sure you're doing this, is you may have a handful of cases over the course of a year. Those clients may not have other cases to refer to you, but they have other people that they can refer to you, meaning that the professionals that they know and work with, and through them, maybe it's their insurance agent. Maybe all they can do is introduce you to their insurance agent, but their insurance agent knows a lot of attorneys. So absolutely, the principles are the same, whether we're talking about a client, another professional, or a prospective client, somebody who's never hired you, just somebody that knows you and likes you. Maybe you're starting to build some trust with them, starting to build a relationship. The same principles apply. It's all about looking for ways that you can solve other people's problems and find out what they want, help them get it, whatever it is, and doing that with the knowledge that the more you give, the more you put out into the universe, the more is going to come back to you. And yes, there are some mechanical differences in terms of what you say and what you ask for and the letters you give and the information you give. For example, you're going to educate fellow lawyers, John, obviously differently than lay people. You're going to teach them how to issue spotting types of things, and also how to protect themselves professionally, and show your value to them by providing that kind of value to them. So yeah, the short answer is yeah, it's the same thing. It's just executed a little differently.
Excellent. Now, David, for the attorneys who are listening to this, what can they do if they'd like to speak with you about developing a referral-based marketing system for their practice?
I tell everyone, don't be in a hurry to hire me. You know, there's lots of information on my blog. There's several years worth of information. That would be the first thing, is go and sign up for the newsletter and then dig into the archives and start reading and educate yourself. After that, I've got some courses and products for sale, some books for sale. I'll be coming out with more over time. But go to that. And then, and only then, if you're ready to take it to a higher level, I don't take on a lot of consulting clients anymore. It's very time consuming, and it's not really a leveraged use of my time. It's not the best use of my time. I still do it because I enjoy it and because the need is still out there. But look to hiring myself or some other consultant or coach or somebody that can help you. After you've absorbed the concepts, you know, you don't want me to spend, the first hour together with you educating you conceptually. We need to be on the same page, and then when we talk, we can tailor it to your specific situation. I can look at your website. I can give you feedback. I can talk about what you've done in the past. I can answer your questions, but you'll at least be coming from a reference point where you understand the basics of what we're talking about, what you need to do. And if you're totally clueless, as I was not that long ago, the one course, the Attorney Marketing Formula, has a bonus marketing plan in the back. It's a simple marketing plan. For attorneys, I think I describe it as an attorney or a marketing plan that really works, and that is because it's simple, and that'll help you get started.
Sounds great. Well, hey, David, thank you very much. And again, your domain website is attorneymarketing.com, and you have a lot of great information there. You have a lot of great books, including Make the Phone Ring. Great titles, by the way. Evernote for Lawyers. I'm a fan of Evernote. And the 30-Day Referral Blitz. So a lot of great books that people can buy by going to attorneymarketing.com. And also, I definitely would recommend the daily email newsletter called The Prosperous Lawyer. I get it. I read it almost every day. And I definitely recommend it. So thank you for being with us today.
Hey, John, I appreciate the invitation. I like what you're doing here with the podcast. And I look forward to seeing more from you, and hopefully we can do this again sometime.